How many of you believe like I do that the Great Commission is still before us? I hope everyone's hand goes up. Well, in simple terms, my understanding of the Great Commission is until that is completed, we have to constantly work prayerfully to move forward to take new ground. That's what we're doing. We're tending what God's given us already, but we're having to take new ground. And that's always challenging. It's always exciting. It requires leadership, like you've provided for us, Roger. We're thankful for that. Last night, Lisa and I mentioned to you that we could, if we had time, unpack the specifics of this process in all the different programming arenas that Mount Hermon is involved in. But what we've chosen to do is to bring the one this morning that is probably most current and for many of you, you're thinking the most about and excited about and want to know about. And that is the Felton Meadow, the new property that God's blessed us with. And what we're going to do there, why we're going to do there, the missional foundation of why we're doing it. And to do that for us, do you want to give a little introduction for Nate?
For Nate. And I'm going to just make one other comment, too. If any of you would ever like to see what we call the foundational values and commitments of Mount Hermon, there are 17 or 18 of these. We wrote these years ago, 1994. And then as we wrote these foundational values, we were so struck by the imperative of what they contained that we wrote a commitment. In light of this, Mount Hermon commits to do these things. If you'd like to get a copy of that document, Cindy, are you here somewhere this morning? You are. Any possibility that you could have a piece of paper and folks could just give you their name? Would that work? Do you all know who Cindy is? Anybody here not know Cindy? Cindy, stand up so they can see you. There she is. Okay. And I would love for you to see these things. And the reason is you need to know we're ministering out of that truth base. The Bible is completely inspired, Word of God, rule of faith and practice. You need to see what we're saying about what are the cardinal truths of Scripture upon which this ministry is built. And, you know, you don't often go up to a house and say, boy, you got a really nice foundation for this house. You know, most people don't do that.
Well, here at Mount Hermon, we do, actually, you know.
We do ask that question here more often because some of them don't have foundations. But anyway... But I want you to know that it is everything we're doing is based on that foundation. So there's no slippage, there's no mission drift, there's just differing strategies being used to reach differing demographics. And I think that's the great message of today. So
just before you introduce Nate, I want a quick commercial. Many of you have asked, and you need to know, all of these sessions this weekend, it's my understanding, have been recorded. And so if you would like to hear what Lisa shared, or what Roger shared today, or what Nate's about to share, which is going to be unbelievable. They'll be available in the bookstore, so you can meander down there, and they'll tell you how to get them in CDs or flash drives or whatever you want, okay?
Nate Pfefferkorn comes to us actually from the Northwest, where he was involved with commercial kinds of adventure ministries. They would actually lease facilities from various camps and then run their programs there. After meeting Nate and then interviewing a whole slew of other people, we decided, because he was a little hard to get, we decided we're going to wait to get Nate because he brought not only a wealth of expertise in adventure ministries, but he also brought a heart that was eager to reach people for Jesus Christ. And there's not a ton of those folks out there. So anyway, we waited, and it's one of the best waits Mount Hermon ever did. Nate Pfefferkorn today directs our adventure ministries, which includes a whole slew of things. Nate, how many staff members do you now direct?
This summertime, we'll be up around 100.
So anyway, he's in charge of about 100 staff and in charge of some pretty major programs, and we're just really excited to have you a part of the ministry team here. So thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to exit, and it's all yours.
All right. Well, thank you for that introduction. How about giving a round of applause for these guys, huh? So again, my name is Nate, and I direct the adventure and recreation programs here at Mount Hermon. I've had the chance to speak with you guys, I think, once or twice before, maybe in some smaller contexts. But before we dive into the pieces that I wanted to share today, some of you have heard a little bit about our involvement in China. And so I just got off the plane, I think it was the day before yesterday, after a 12-hour flight back from Beijing that was followed by two 5-hour bullet train rides around to Xi'an and some other places. So I have a really hard time sitting still after sitting still in a plane for 12 hours. I don't know if anyone in here is like that as well. So I think we should all stand up, have a nice deep breath, maybe a quick stretch. Oh, scratch anything that itches, and then we can dive in. So it's good to get the blood flowing. All right, you can sit down now. Has anyone done 12 hours on a plane? That's a long time to sit there. I am all queued up on my recent movies. I think we watched 4 movies on the way over and 4 on the way back. So my eyeballs were melting by the end of that trip. Well, this has been kind of a heady conference. We've been talking about a lot of philosophy and a lot of missional type topics, and so we're going to continue that. But we're also going to get to some boots on the ground of actually what's happening down there on that Felton Meadow property. As JR and Roger mentioned, you know, a lot of what we are doing or a lot of these new areas of program expansion are under the umbrella of Adventure and Recreation Ministry. And I don't have a slide for this one, but I think it's an important concept to take a look at is that, you know, we have lots of things that are within kind of the circle of Mount Hermon. We have excellent programs. We have great facilities. We have Bible teaching. We have activities. We have staff. We have all these different things that are kind of within the Mount Hermon circle, so to speak. And so throughout the years, people have kind of entered into that circle or entered into that Mount Hermon experience in different ways. Traditionally, people have entered into that experience because they've been looking for a certain kind of curriculum or a certain kind of program, and that's been their entry point into Mount Hermon. So they've come through youth programming or family camp or a couples retreat or an event like this. That's been how they've come to Mount Hermon. And then once they come in, then they enjoy the facilities, they do activities, and they enjoy all that Mount Hermon is. So that's one way that people have come into the Mount Hermon experience. The last several years, we've also had people coming in primarily for the facilities. So during the school year, you know, we do all sorts of guest group events where churches and other organizations will basically schedule time at Mount Hermon. And so they're coming mostly for our facilities, for our food, for the natural beauty that's here. And then we get to provide some program for them, and we get to provide activities for them. So just in the last few years, we've really been able to amplify the activity portion of that whole mix of what Mount Hermon is, where now we have people that are coming into Mount Hermon because of the activities. So this really started with the Redwood Canopy Tour several years ago in 2008 and has continued to expand into team building programs and all of these other new initiatives where people are coming in because of the activities, but now they're also going to enjoy the facilities and they're going to get the program that we're so known for. So it's just different entry points into the same Mount Hermon. And so how we posture ourselves, the language we use, how we do ministry is a little bit different depending on that entry point, but it's all still part of that core ministry. So hopefully that's another kind of helpful metaphor, helpful analogy of what's going on here. And if you haven't been a part of that activity, you know, entry point, it might look a little bit different than the entry point that you're used to. But again, it's all part of Mount Hermon. It's all part of what we're trying to do here. So Roger referenced this, but over the course of the last, I guess it's been year and a half, 2 years, we have really been thinking a lot in the program department and in my area about, okay, how do we know this is missional and we know what we're doing is missional, but how do we articulate it to moderns and postmoderns, and how do we make sure that we are being intentionally missional everywhere? How do we really articulate that, I guess, is the best way to say it. So as Roger mentioned, Lisa and I spent a lot of time working on this big, really a theological document of how adventure ministry works, why it works, and what it's based upon. So I want to walk you through kind of the core philosophies of the Adventure Recreation Program, and that's all of the Adventure Recreation Program. So this is some of my staff here. They're a good-looking group. This is our Christmas party picture. But it's a really neat group of folks, and you know, most of my crew are kind of between the ages of, I'd say, 18 and 32, 35, something like that, which is not true of everyone in that picture, but it's a lot of us. And so, you know, we in that mix of people, we definitely have people that are on that modern and that postmodern spectrum, tending more to the postmodern, but I would put myself kind of right on that borderline where even the difference in my worldview from my younger brother, who apparently we grew up in the same house, but, you know, the way he looks at the world is so different than the way that I look at the world, and we're only 2 years apart. So, anyway, so this is some of our crew, and we have a really good time together, as you can see there. So the first kind of core philosophy or the core theological thing that we want to base a lot of our programs on is this idea of creation as context. And what creation as context means is that our programs are taking place in the context of creation. They're taking place, by and large, out of doors in God's creation. And that's a really important thing. That's one of the core things that camp ministry is based upon. You know, camp ministry in America really started off as wanting to get people out of the cities, out of the urban areas, kind of a response to industrialization. Let's get them outside. Let's get them in God's creation where that veil between God and man is a little bit thinner. And God can speak clearly, and there's not as many distractions. And so we're still doing that. That's a key piece of what we're doing with all of our adventure recreation programs is we're doing them outside. And like I said, that allows people to see God as he's revealed in his creation. And as people notice that and as they experience that, we see this a lot on the Canopy Tour where we get to teach people about the redwood trees. We get to teach them about the root system and how the trees grow. And they start to become really fascinated with these trees that some people have lived around their whole lives. And we get to take that metaphor and then start to weave the gospel into it. And so we get to do that because we're ministering and working outside, which is really great. The second piece of all of our programs is they're experiential in nature. So experiential learning is a methodology, a way of teaching, a way of instructing. It's been around for several years, and some of us actually went to school to learn how to do this, which is kind of an oxymoron, where you go to school and you listen to lectures about how to do experiential education, but that was my graduate school experience. But anyway, the idea with experiential education is you provide people with an experience, so they actually do something. And then after they've done that event, after they've done that activity, you, through the relationship that you're developing while doing that activity, you get to ask them questions. And so after you've had the experience, you get to ask them questions that allow them to reflect on that experience, see what they might learn from that experience, think about how that maybe applies to the rest of their life, and then we provide them with new experiences in which to practice that learning, and the circle just keeps going. What's great about it is it is so relational in nature. It's experience-based, it's outside, but it's relational in nature. It really takes that trust and that love and that caring relationship for this to be effective. And so we've been doing this at Mount Hermon for a long time, maybe not calling it experiential education, but that's what it is. That's what makes our Ponderosa Lodge program so effective or our Redwood Camp program so effective. It's the same thing. We're outside, we're giving kids experiences, and then we're talking about those experiences, and we're helping them draw connections. Our outdoor science program has been doing this for years really, really effectively. So out of that experiential learning cycle, we're allowed to then facilitate right relationships. And that's where that trust and love comes in. Like Roger said, activity really is the key component in drawing people together now. It is the community well or whatever metaphor you want to use. People are connecting around activity. Much more so than they're connecting around an age group or a location or maybe other things that we connected around in the past. And so through that activity, we get to model, we get to facilitate, we get to show what correct relationships look like. So we get to model that as our staff interact with one another, as our staff interact with our guests. We even get to provide coaching and feedback with guests between each other. We do this a lot currently in our team building programs where we have corporate groups and church groups and school groups come to us to learn through activity how to communicate, how to solve problems, how to trust one another. So we get to facilitate that relationship between individuals and between humans, but ultimately we facilitate that relationship between them and the Creator, between Jesus. And so we get to point that direction as well. The last thing that we do is we create worshipful connections. And that's really that piece where, you know, we're creating those connections relationally between people and Christ. People have the opportunity through that experiential learning cycle to worship. And it's a different kind of worship. You know, we often aren't singing hymns out in the woods as we're taking people through the canopy tour, as we're teaching them how to cycle. But we're teaching them an appreciation of creation, an appreciation of one another, how to use their bodies, how to be healthy. And then through those things, through those relationships, again, we get to share the love of Christ directly and indirectly with them. So that's just a little bit about how our programs are structured, and that's across the entire activity spectrum here at Mount Hermon. One of the interesting things about our Adventure Recreation Department, going back to those entry points of activity or program or facility, we get to interact with all of those guests. The focus that we're looking at today is really that activity-specific entry point into Mount Hermon. But, you know, we work with the OSS students, we work with Ponderosa Lodge, we work with Redwood, we work with Family Camp. So our staff are equipped and trained to work across the entire programmatic spectrum here, which I really love. I think it's really exciting. So this is the part you guys are probably wanting to hear about, which is what's going on down there on that property. So it's been alluded to that we're calling the property now the Felton Meadow. And so it's no longer the new land. It's because it's not really new. It's been there a long time, I think. We did not create it. It's been there. So we're calling it the Felton Meadow now. And on the Felton Meadow, there's going to be several different programs that emerge and evolve over the next coming years. The first one, the one that we're leading with, is Velocity. And so I'm going to talk mostly about that today. So Velocity is a bike park, and it's a bike park program, and it's a bike park facility as well. So it's kind of one in both. And what it is really is a venue, an opportunity for us to do the ministry across that whole spectrum that Roger was sharing about. Part of it is definitely going to focus on that zero and this direction part of the spectrum, but I think we're also going to have great opportunities to focus the other direction as well. So as a facility and as a program, there's a lot of things that we can talk about there. As we look at it, I think it's really important for you guys to understand not only are the philosophies that I just talked about, are those important, but we wanted to drill down just a little bit more. Okay, well, how do we actually do those things? Using a bicycle, using program, you know, what does that actually look like? So the core values of the entirety of the Mount Hermon Adventures Department, we've chosen three. They're quality, authenticity, and inspiration. And these align very, very closely and summarize in some facets the 17 points that Roger was alluding to that you can see Cindy a little bit later to get. So with our core values of quality, authenticity, and inspiration, this was distilled in language that we like to use, again, to minister to that whole spectrum. And so we've been able to use this really effectively when we work with Google or Facebook or Apple or, you know, a secular school district. These are core values that they understand and that they want to see promoted in their own organizations. And so these are based on biblical concepts and biblical values, and we're just choosing how we want to phrase them and how we actually implement them. So quality, authenticity, and inspiration. Drilling down beyond that, though, we have really five methodologies that we're going to use in the bike park to make sure that our missional goal of being intentionally missional everywhere is accomplished. And so I'll run through those relatively quickly, but they're up here on this side, I think. There they are. So they are flexible, holistic, journey-focused, intentional, and collaborative. And so this is how we start to put the rubber to the dirt, so to speak, of how we actually do this in the bike park program. So it's going to be really important for us moving forward with this program in particular that we're flexible. We don't totally know what people want out of a bike park. What we do know a lot of it, but nobody has done anything like this anywhere in the country. We're going to be some of the first pioneers of this type of facility, this kind of venue, this kind of location. And so we recognize we're gonna have to be flexible in terms of how do we develop our program? How do we develop our pricing structure? What does the curriculum look like? So we have to be flexible with those things. And we're doing some really exciting things, even just around the curriculum piece to enable us to do that. Rather than setting up a really rigid timeline or set schedule, we're doing more of a component style curriculum, where there's going to be upwards of 50 different skills components that a instructor can pull individual pieces out to meet the needs of the group that they're with. And then we're going to dovetail that with good metaphor development and good analogy development so that as people are learning these skills and asking questions about them, it's a really easy transition into speaking about biblical values and concepts. So just one way that we're being flexible there. Holistic, this really talks about a lot of our programs, but one thing that I do love about all these adventure recreation things is it deals with the whole person. Unlike this setting right here where we're sitting and listening to someone speak, with the bike park program, they're in relationship with their coach instructor, with other people, and they're doing things with their body, with their brain, they're learning skills, they're being challenged, they're being confronted with new realities. It's a holistic, it speaks to the whole person, which is really, really a beautiful thing. We want our programs to be journey-focused, so we saw that spectrum there. And there's going to be people entering into these bike programs that are all over that spectrum. We're definitely going to have staff and individuals that know Christ, and that's going to be a key component of who we are. But we are already getting overwhelming questions from the local community that are very not Christian about how can I be involved? When can I buy my season's pass? When's it going to be open? Can I teach there? You know, when can I drop my kids off? Like people are ready for this. And so we have to recognize that people are all over that spectrum. So how do we love them appropriately where they're at on that spectrum with this program? Intentional. We want to be intentionally missional everywhere. So as we learn where people are at on that spectrum, we can be intentional with the way that we speak to them, the way that we engage with them, the way that we encourage and that we love them. And the last one is collaborative. This has really blown my socks off, just the way that people in this local community and kind of Bay Area community more broadly want to be involved with this project. I've had the opportunity to speak with folks at Trek Bicycles, which is actually headquartered back in Wisconsin, but Fox Suspension, which is here locally in Scotts Valley, several other bike manufacturers and component manufacturers are located in the greater Santa Cruz area. And I've had opportunities to go and speak with people like global directors of marketing and CEOs and CFOs at these different organizations. And I get to go in as a representative of Mount Hermon and talk about this Velocity Bike Park, talk about the programs, talk about Mount Hermon, how we're a Christian camp, we do these other things. And they're like, yeah, that's great. We want to be a part of it. What do you need? That's unbelievable to me. You know, that's not typical of the corporate world interacting with a missional, Jesus-based organization. And so God is creating those connections where we're going to get to collaborate as we choose, but we're going to get to collaborate with all sorts of different kinds of organizations that normally would not darken our doors here at Mount Hermon. And so that's been a real blessing. So that's a little bit about how we're actually going to accomplish those things. So let's take now a little bit of a look at, well, what is actually going to happen down there? Really what we're going to focus on is two things. We have to be excellent at our facilities, and we have to be excellent in our programs in order for this to work. Excellent in our facilities and excellent in our programs. So let's take a look at the programs briefly first. The amount of programs that we're going to be able to operate with this facility is totally mind-boggling. As I've been looking at the programmatic mix of things that we're going to be able to offer, it's very akin to when Ponderosa Lodge was launched. We're basically launching an entire new camp facility with this bike park development. In terms of the size and scope of the facility, but the program offerings, it's really astounding. So we're literally going to be able to operate programs almost daily, year-round, on this facility. And so thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the next 4 to 5 years are going to come through this facility and have the opportunity to learn how to ride their bicycle better, but more importantly, have intentional interactions with Christian staff and to learn what it is to follow Christ because of this facility. So some of the programs that we'll definitely be leading with in 2015 are summer day camps. And this is one thing that the community is really excited about because there aren't very many things available in this Santa Cruz area. You probably know it's really expensive to live in this part of the world. And so a lot of parents both work, and when their kids are out of school, they don't know what to do with them. There's a kind of a limited, finite number of summer programs in our local area here. So we're going to be able to lead quickly and effectively with summer day camp programs that kind of align with the commuting hours. And again, just mentioning these things to parents at some of the events we've done, people are ready to sign deposits and sign their kids up now, and it doesn't even exist yet. They're like, great, great, can we sign up? That'll be great. So we'll be able to supplement that with weekend day camps as well. Kind of, again, aligning with those same hours, but Saturday, Sunday style camps. We'll be able to have single day camps that are happening on various days of the week. We're looking at doing 6 to 8 session evening camps, and those will be happening during the summer, but also in the spring and the fall, primarily for youth, but also for adults if they're interested, where folks will come kind of in that after-school range and participate in programming for, again, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe 2 days a week. We have a whole host of 2 to 4 hour skills clinics and skills lessons, and this will be the entry point for a lot of adults into our programming, where they'll be able to sign up and rent a bicycle, get an instructor, and go learn a very specific skill for 2 to 4 hours in the park. And so those will be happening kind of all year round. We'll have the opportunity to do destination camps, and there is, again, interest already of professionals within the industry that have contacted us that say, hey, you know, I do this camp at Whistler, or I do this camp at Vail in Colorado, or I do this camp different places. I'd really like to do it in Santa Cruz. Can I partner with you guys to do this kind of programming there? So we're exploring different options of having big-name professionals possibly come in and work with us to provide destination-style camps where people would be flying in from all over the country to participate in these programs. And then events. There's lots of opportunities for special events, for festivals, for other bike industry-specific kinds of things, again, where we can collaborate with different industry professionals to be intentionally missional with them, which is really exciting. So that's a little bit about our programs. And again, we'll be, as we launch and as we lead, we're going to lead with certain kinds of programs and try and remain flexible to see what do people really want, what do they need, and then be able to craft based on our program. You know, how do we change that and morph that for folks? So a little bit about the facilities. That's over here. you know, we've worked really hard for the facility to be, really intentional in design. And so as we have worked on this process, it feels like it's been a really long time that we've been looking at the facility, designing the facility, and programming how we want to build this facility. So, oh, thank you. I'm getting water now. Thank you. I appreciate that. We could have gone several different directions with the actual design of this facility, but we're letting the program drive the facility, which is a really unique blessing to get to start with a raw piece of land like this like we do. Oftentimes, as a programmer, when we come into a facility, the facility is more or less set. You know, the cabins are here, the kitchen is there, we have these recreational options, and we have to be creative with that. This, we've been able to flip it the other way around and say, okay, what are the programs that are going to have the most missional impact, and how do we create the facility to make that happen? And so we've been able to work with an excellent design team of locals and some international folks to design really the best bike park in America. Absolutely, yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And so as we look at the unique market segment that we have to serve, as Roger shared, you know, here we are kind of smack dab in the middle of the Bay Area, one of the least churched, most God-unfriendly places on the planet. We have a really unique market segment that we get to serve here. This is a little bit marketing language, but we have a very unique demographic here in this area that is hungry for this kind of activity, that's hungry for Christ. They just don't know it yet. And so we can combine those two things, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. So when we look at Santa Cruz in particular, is world known for as a mountain biking destination. However, somewhere between 80 to 90% of our mountain bike trails in the county are illegal. So they're built illegally, They're operated illegally. They're on public lands, and the public land managers don't want them there. So it's a really interesting place to be a mountain biker, to be a mountain cyclist, where when friends come in from out of town, you don't really want to take them on the illegal trails because they might get ticketed. So we have this unique opportunity here just in our county to create a space where people can ride their bikes and ride them legally, which is great. But we also have the opportunity to start working more closely with our local land managers, our government officials, all those kinds of people, where this facility is really going to become a bit of the living room for Santa Cruz County, and especially for our local town of Felton, where Roger mentioned, you know, earlier, we've got lots of local folks who are just hanging out down in the Safeway parking lot, smoking pot, drinking beer, doing whatever they do. This is going to provide another outlet for them to do something constructive, something creative, something beneficial for their bodies and for society. And so we're really excited about that opportunity. Obviously, one of the things that you'll see if you, as we go down there in a little bit, it's a beautiful, beautiful site. You know, it's just absolutely gorgeous. So we get to really capitalize on the natural beauty of the facility. We probably won't walk actually out onto the facility right now because there's deer ticks and poison ivy, poison oak right now. But once it's all cleared up, one of the things that's beautiful about the facility is once the trails are all developed, from the top of the property, you can see the entire San Lorenzo Valley. Some of the pictures that you've seen on the slide show up here today are actually pictures from the facility of those beautiful misty hills. So it's just, it's really going to be a spectacular facility. And then I had mentioned this already, but really the design of the facility has been driven by the program. And as the program has developed, we've actually gone back and made tweaks to the facility design so that it supports it even more fully. So as we have been developing all this stuff for the last couple of years, we're to the point now where we can start talking about it, we can start sharing about it, and we've actually been getting out in the community a little bit to talk about it. And so we had two really exciting recent projects that really encouraged me in lots of ways to see how excited people are about this. So this was the first one we did just a few weeks ago. Here in Santa Cruz, we have the Santa Cruz Mountain Bike Festival, and this is down in Aptos. And in Aptos, there is a set of dirt jumps. So dirt jumps are just kind of what they sound like, big piles of dirt that kids ride, kids and adults, jump their bikes on. And it's actually a world-famous destination. It looks like it's just a scrappy pile of dirt, but people come from all over the planet to ride these dirt jumps in Aptos. And probably of the 10 professional freestyle mountain bikers out there in the world, 7 of them are from Aptos. They're here. This is the epicenter of this movement. So this whole mountain bike event has kind of grown up around it. And so we had the opportunity to bring our airbag down and be a part of the festival. So this thing over here, these guys jumping up in the air, you can kind of see it down over here in this lower corner. This is the airbag for Velocity Bike Park. So we were actually able to get this and bring it to the festival. This will be on the facility once the facility is built. But basically what it is a giant pillow full of air, kind of like a bouncy house. And this particular airbag, this is one that I've been working with the designer to build. This is the first one of its kind. It's the only one in the world right now that's ride-outable. So the way airbags used to be is you would jump into it. It just looked like a big pillow. You would jump into it and poof, and then you'd have to kind of like drag and waddle your bike off the side. We built this one a little bit more like a wedge on the backside. So if you land on your pedals, you can actually ride out of it, which is really exciting. What this does, though, is it allows a quick trick progression. And so as people are learning their tricks, they can jump into this and not get injured. We can actually adjust how hard the bag is to make it really soft or hard so you can practice your landings. And it was phenomenal just to, again, see the excitement from this event. There were around 6,000 people at this event. We had right around 1,000 sign up and actually pay money to do the airbag. And each and every one of those people, as we stood on the, we don't have a picture of, kind of over here in this corner, there was a big drop-in ramp. And so each and every one of those people that was up on the drop-in ramp, we got to start that personal relationship with them. We got to ask them their name, where are you from, are you having a good time, what are you excited about, you know, share with them a little bit about the vision of the Velocity Bike Park and Velocity program. And so it started, like those relationships and those ministry moments have started even before we have a facility, which I absolutely love. So that was a great event. And then following that, the next week we had the Sea Otter Classic. event, which the Sea Otter Classic is labeled as North America's premier bike festival. Happens to be down at Laguna Seca, just outside of Monterey. And somewhere between 60 and 100,000 people show up for this event. It's not a small one. So at this event, we had our booth. We have several people in my department. We have a race team within the Mount Hermon Adventures department. It's open to all of you guys, too, by the way. It's on the website, mounthermonadventures.com/race, so you can check that out later. But we had several people actually in events and in races, so really, really fun. My daughter over there, she did a little race, you know. Josh's son, he was part of some stuff. We had Trevor here. He works for us in the adventure department. He got second place in the men's enduro event, stood on the podium, which was pretty exciting. So, again, these are all just ways that we're trying to get ourselves out there in the community to interact with folks that wouldn't normally interact with Mount Hermon, wouldn't normally get to interact with us. And so, again, we're getting to create relationships intentionally and to be out there with this community of folks. So at the Sea Otter, again, you know, thousands of people stop by the booth. We're signing up for the email updates. And, again, people are just really excited that this is coming to Santa Cruz. So a little bit about the site status, because that's really what everyone wants to know, is when is it going to be built? When is it going to happen? And we don't know. That's the gist of it. We don't know. So how to be involved is kind of the next slide, but don't go there yet. But that's the biggest thing that we need right now is we need prayer. And I know that there's a lot of prayer warriors in this room, and so we entreat you to pray for this process. Where we're at right now is the whole plan has been submitted to the county. It was submitted several months ago, and so how it works here is we go through a county planning process with the County Planning Commission. And it's kind of mind-boggling to me, but they can ask as many questions as they want, as many times as they want, and we have to keep responding. It seems like there should be a finite number of questions. I don't understand, but that's not the way it works here. So they've asked questions, and we've responded two or three times, and we think we're getting really close because new questions aren't cropping up. They're just revisions of the old questions. And Dale says that's a good sign. So that's kind of where we're at in that process. Once the Planning Commission has signed off on it, kind of our next step is going to be our community hearings. And that's another great thing to pray for. We don't know if there's anyone that's antagonistic to this project out there in the community. We hope not. But if they come to the community meeting, of course, we're going to address their needs and their concerns. It will be really exciting, though, to see how many people show up in support of the project. Through our local mountain bike club, some of the other local organizations that are in their area, as I've been able to talk with them, they've promised to show up. So I think we're literally going to have thousands of supporters show up at our first community meeting, which, again, will just be a great time to get to develop those relationships with all these local folks. So that hopefully will happen here in the next couple months, our public meetings. Once that's completed, then we get to start construction. Before we start construction, though, we get to go actually to the construction department, pull construction permits, all of those sorts of things. So as we've gone through the planning process, we're basically to the point of having construction documents done already. So the project in kind of government terms is shovel ready at this point. So as soon as we get the permits, we can actually begin, which is great. We're not going to have to go back and redo a whole bunch of documentation to actually start. So we're hoping, optimistically, that we can start breaking ground in September. And that's September of this year. So as we break ground, the goal is it'll take several months to actually construct the facility to its entirety. But we're hoping for a soft opening with some specialty camps in December. And then we'll have our full opening in spring of 2015. And then by summer of 2015, we'll be operating our full portfolio of programs by summer of 2015, which should be somewhere around 1,500 campers served in that first summer. Really? Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of brings us to the how to get involved piece. As I mentioned, prayer at this point is really going to be very helpful. Do you want to jump in? Oh, boy.
I got to tell you guys one quick little story. Nate knows this, but I was at an event. Lori and I, my wife and I, were at an event a couple of months ago, and Ron and Jackie DeMola were there, and Renee and Lori Schlepper. You all know who Renee is. Renee is one of our trustees, pastor at Aptos.
Long story short, so we're talking to Renee, and Renee says he's down at the county courthouse. And he's having a conversation with one of the supervisors, and they're chit-chatting about this, that, and the other. And a couple of gals walk up who know the supervisor, and the conversation grows. Well, as it turns out, Renee says, these two women used to work a full-time with the county parks department. But now they've been kind of redeployed because the budget's just been cut down to nothing. And as the conversation is going on, somebody says to Renee, so Renee, besides this, you know, preaching thing that you do, what else are you involved with? Because these aren't folks that go to his church. And so Renee starts rattling off a couple things. And he says, and I serve as a trustee at Mount Hermon. And he said the words had barely come off my lips when all three of them, and I asked Renee if he was embellishing this a little bit for story purposes. He told me he wasn't. He said, as the words barely came out of my lips, Mount Hermon, almost in unison, they said, Mount Hermon? And Renee said, at that moment, I'm not sure what's coming next. And Renee says, yeah, Mount Hermon. And they said, we love Mount Hermon. And Renee, again, says it's not often what he hears frequently. And he said, that's wonderful. Obviously, I do too. Tell me why. And they said, that bike park you guys are working on, we are so grateful for that. We are hopeful that this will be a model for other private organizations to look at and emulate, because the budgets that we have, we will never be able to provide this type of opportunity in the foreseeable future to this community. But with organizations like Mount Hermon that will take that baton and go forward, it's incredible what we can do, and we are so excited about it. And I was telling this to Alden, and Alden says, okay, so there's five supervisors. That means we got one. And
that's good. I think we only need three, don't we?
Three of the five?
Our supervisor has said the same thing, JR. He said the buzz in the county building is just incredible. They are in awe that we would do something like this. And here's what I want to say. When you think of the Great Commission, which JR referenced earlier, it's, you know, go where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. We've been pretty good at Samaria, Judea, other uttermost parts of the earth. We've not done a whole lot for Jerusalem, which is right around us here. And this is our first major outreach, not only in the bike park, but in the day camp thing that Nate was explaining earlier. This is for the local community. This is not for our conference guests. So I'm really excited that we're finally getting to Jerusalem, as well as Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Go ahead, Nate.
Thank you. Yeah, so that brings us to the how to be involved. Like I was saying, prayer for us is really important. Prayer is always important. So our biggest prayer needs right now really are that county process. It's such an unknown thing, and it could be that we don't get to start building until December or January. It could be we get to start building in August, and it's really up to those folks that are involved in the county, them getting their questions answered, them feeling good about the project, which they do. But sometimes things go a little slower than we might like. So prayer for them and just prayer for that process would be huge. The other big thing that I'm really mindful of now that we've started to look at the program and the program design and how many staff it's going to take to make this thing go, I get a little bit nervous. But, you know, God wants this to happen. There have been so many God moments in this whole process where it's undeniable that he wants this project to go forward. So I know the staff are out there. It's just a matter of us connecting with those staff. So when we look at summer 2015, we're going to need somewhere around 65 staff to pull off the program, the facility, the infrastructure needs that we have, 65 minimum. So maybe more like 80 to 87. So as you start to think about that, as you know people, as you interact with people, come December, January, that's when we're going to start looking at interviewing and hiring all sorts of folks to be a part of this project. So if you would join me in prayer in preparing those people's hearts and minds to come and join us at Velocity at Mount Hermon to be a part of this life-changing, world-class program, that would be absolutely fantastic. So my time is wrapping up, but I would, again, I would just like to thank you guys for coming this weekend to really hear about all the things that we've been sharing about. It really is our goal. It really is our purpose to be intentionally missional everywhere. And I hope that you get a sense of how this velocity part fits into the entire program mix and entire really theological understanding of how we're doing what we're doing and why we're doing it. So I'm going to close my time with a quick prayer, and then Carrie's going to come up and tell us what's next. Yeah. Oh, the finances. Before I pray or after I pray?
When you hear about that number of staff members, and you can, some of you are going, click, 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 click. Oh my gosh, okay? Some of you have maybe done that with a canopy tour. I don't know if you realize the canopy tour completely pays for itself and has paid for itself many times over and was actually one of the things that God used to carry us through the Great Recession. We didn't know that, but he had that planned. So talk about this.
Yeah, we've been blessed with some significant donations to help us get off and running with this project. You can talk to JR if you want to donate some more. We could certainly use a little bit more to really complete this first phase of construction. But again, we've been blessed where we don't have to wait in terms of development. We're just going to get to go, which is a huge, huge blessing. Once it's actually up and running with this kind of initial infusion to get it going, the bike park will be self-sustaining. As I've kind of written the business model and looked at it, it should be basically break even within that first 9 months to a year for sure. And then after that, it will actually be generating enough revenues to continue development on that property or whatever else we need to do at Mount Hermon. So, you know, if we look at the Felton Meadow property in its entirety, the velocity part is a part, but it's only one part. You know, the other parts of it are the day camp program that we want to get launched, some other community-based programs we want to get launched there, as well as expansion of Redwood Camp. And so because of velocity, once it's up and running, that will actually generate revenues that we can roll back into continuing to develop that property. Which is a really spectacular thing. So not only do we get to do ministry, we get to be good stewards of our resources and continue to develop this great property. So very exciting. All right, now can I pray? Okay, good. All right, join me in prayer. Father God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for just this gathering of folks that is faithful and prays for Mount Hermon and supports Mount Hermon so diligently with their time and with their resources and with their energies. Lord, we are so excited about this Velocity project, about the facility, about the programs, and about the thousands of people that it's going to impact. And so, Lord, we lift it up and we give it over to you. This is not of our own desires. This is something that you have given us, that you have very clearly said this is a direction that you want us to go. And so we will humbly go that direction. Lord, we ask for and just seek your wisdom as we work through the county process, as we work with the local constituents that are excited or may be concerned. Please help us to speak with love and truth in all of those situations and in all of those settings. And Lord, we pray especially for the kids, the youth, the adults, the families that we're going to get to minister through this and that we're already ministering to. Lord, help us to be kind and gentle as we engage in relationships with these folks, and above all, that your son would be known and glorified because of it. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so if you're not excited, you're asleep. Okay, so I just want to put that out there right now. You know how JR mentioned earlier about Lisa last night, listening to Lisa, and she is brilliantly wired, you know, into another solar system. Nate, same thing. Equally brilliant. Different area. In the world of Adventure Rec, he is off the charts. The cool part is most of what he says, we can understand, which I'm loving that. Loving that. So, all right, so we got a couple things coming up, and I just have to tell you, from a staff standpoint, and I know Roger and JR, we talk about this all the time on the team, this is seriously probably one of the most exciting times to be a part of Mount Hermon in the history, in 108 years. I mean, really, what's happening now, we are traversing two generations, two time periods, and God has called us into this neat thing. And you all are shareholders in all of that. You are part of this mission and journey that we're on. So what a neat time for you to all be with us and co-laboring with us. I love, Roger uses that word, I love it, co-labor. All right. So here's the skinny. We've got some things coming up. Before I tell you about our launch plans down to Redwood Camp for the dedication, I want to do one reminder. Like we've done in the last couple of years, we are going to sell those sweet centerpieces that we have in the dining room. So if you're looking for that excellent little Mother's Day bouquet, it's available. $20 and help yourself. If you would hand off a $20 bill or a check, we'd be super grateful. We don't have credit card capacity over in the dining room, but JR, myself, Debbie, Dave Talbot, a couple people are questionable. Don't give it to Nate because he's funding the bike park. So work at that, all right? But we'll get those covered up. So just pass those on, and we'll love to, that will help offset the cost. I'm going to do two quick, very quick recognitions, and I just have to. I'm not going to make the ladies stand because I promised them I would not, and I love them, and I want them to come back. But Tanya and Cindy and Martha are a fantastic team, as you know, that come year in and year out and help us make the dining room beautiful and colorful and inviting. So let's just give a little hands up and a clap for those gals. Okay. You know who you are. And then secondly, we don't normally do this, but I think this whole thing has been kind of mind-boggling, don't you? Yeah. We have really an exceptional creative services staff and team. I mean, we are unbelievably blessed. They have been trying to launch this. This is state of the art. It's never been done. You're the first group to see it. Josh hasn't slept for about 3 days, neither has Murphy. So, but we told them they could sleep tomorrow or tonight when they get home. So I would really like to say thank you to our creative services team for all their effort. Yeah.